Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Football Fanalytics podcast in association with 23. This is the show that combines our love of football and very average Sunday league playing experiences with our knowledge of football statistics and data analytics. It's episode 21 and we're talking January transfers this week. My name is Mark Carey and joining me as ever is my good friend Ryan Bailey. Ryan, how are you?
I'm good, thank you, Mark. I'm good. How's your week been?
It's been good, thank you. It's been a busy one. It's been a hectic one.
I'm laughing because I know how busy it's been.
It's been really seriously good. I'm dancing around it, but I've sort of announced, haven't I, through Twitter. I had the pleasure of announcing I've become a data analyst at The Athletic.
Let's just let that sentence sink in slightly. That's fun, isn't it? That's fun.
It's very, very fun, believe me. It's been a whirlwind bit of time. Everyone's been so, so nice on Twitter, sending nice messages and stuff. So I've got to say thank you to everyone for that. And obviously everyone that I'm currently working with as well has helped me settle in unbelievably well. So as good as the content of The Athletic is, the people are just as good as the content. They're so,
good
so nice.
My favourite part about it is that you were planning on keeping the announcement quiet. So when I said we should at some point talk about your new role on the podcast, you were a little bit like, well, you know, let's see how it goes. I'll settle in a bit first. Next thing you know, Tom Warville drops a tweet and then the analytics Twitter gets involved and everyone was loving it, weren't they?
Well, yeah. I mean, I was basically trying to keep a low profile and obviously get my head down and make sure that I was just working hard and getting settled and... keeping my face out of the spotlight. But as part of it, as everyone who joins, you do a bit of an introductory piece just to say what your content's going to be for the coming weeks and stuff. So I did that on day one, and then that came out midweek, and I thought, well, I've got to sort of double down on it now and announce it. So a really enjoyable week. It's everything that I thought it would be and more. So still getting my head around it, still loads to learn, still so much more that I can, you know, obviously do. Otherwise it would be a bit odd if I'd done everything in week one. I'm so excited to get going.
Fantastic news, mate. And obviously I'm very, very excited and very, very pleased for you. It was very surreal seeing your face alongside Mark Carey. What was the headline? Emil Heskey made me fall in love with football. Loved that. But, you know, seeing your face on the publication of what I read so much was very, very surreal. So how, talk us through very briefly, obviously there's going to be a lot to it, but what is your role going to be going forward? You're a data analyst. So how is that role going to sort of come out on screen, if you will, on paper?
On paper, yeah. I mean, a key part of it, as Tom has been doing, but now there's just obviously increased capacity to do it, is to support the writers in their use of the data and the analytics with their pieces. So already I've got my teeth stuck into some of that, being able to support in that regard. So yeah, certainly supporting the writers. And then hopefully similar to Tom, Tom Warville, for those who aren't a fan of The Athletic, in actually doing some of the analytics writing myself and actually breaking down some ideas and having my own stamp of using the data to explain concepts within football, Ryan.
Fantastic. I mean, my favourite part of it as well is the fact that you're going to be sort of working with the top end publication of football, and then also at the weekend you've got to talk to a clown like me about basic football analytics work.
You stop it. Both are equally as enjoyable.
Well, thank you very much, Mark. Thank you very much. No, honestly, really excited, and you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing sort of where it goes and what you're going to be coming up with in the coming weeks.
Thank you. You and me both.
Yeah.
Anyway, as ever, I don't like talking about myself, Ryan, so how has your week been?
Yeah, it's been good, thank you, mate. I mean, obviously not quite as exciting as yours, but you know, I've been enjoying myself. I'm actually also, as a freelancer, I'm in the middle of jobs at the moment. So my week has consisted of a lot of Football Manager, a lot of tweeting about the Fanalytics pod, obviously. But yeah, you know, if anyone wants to call me up and give me a job in football, that's fine. I'm pretty adept at counting passes and talking crap while making tea, so you know, it's fine. I'll do whatever.
I mean, you're doing yourself a complete disservice here. You're a successful producer director who has most recently worked at the BBC. The quality of this podcast in terms of the sound and editing is purely down to you.
Well,
so
we need to stop,
let me just get that in right there.
We need to stop being nice to each other. It's a bit disconcerting. it actually does feel like a good time to mention, though, there has been a really useful tool that I've been looking at called, they're an account called Freelance Football Ops, and as well as a sort of successful Twitter account, they're a weekly newsletter, and they're really good. They send through different opportunities, both freelance and full time. I think we've mentioned them once before on the podcast, which, you know, if any of our listeners are interested in signing up to, there's some really good roles on there, sort of in the field of writing, video, audio, digital marketing, you know, all sorts of stuff. They've got a really good pool of opportunities that people can apply for. So I've been, I have actually been browsing through there to see what's available. So I would highly advise any listeners to take a look at that. But anyway, that's probably enough job chat, isn't it?
Maybe enough for this week. But no, just to echo what you said, they are a really good resource. So we would encourage anyone to use it. But yeah, I think without further ado, Ryan, should we get into the crux of this week's episode?
I think we should get into the crux. Let's do the crux thing. All right.
Let's go for it. So, as we said at the top of the episode, we're going to be talking about the January transfer window this week. And there hasn't been too much going on at the time of recording, Ryan, but what have you made of it so far?
I think that's always the way, though, isn't it? Sort of from the start to mid-January, we're always hoping for something to happen, aren't we? And it very often doesn't transpire that way. Most notable ones so far, obviously Amad Diallo, who's a very exciting young player from what I read. Has gone to Manchester United from Atlanta. That's a good one. And then obviously Big Sam's made his first signing. So Mr. Allardyce, very happy for you in the form of Robert Snodgrass. I think we always expect there to be big things happening at this time of year. But it never really happens that way in a normal year, does it? And obviously, you know, funds is a very different situation for everyone because of the word we don't speak about this year. So, it's a bit of an odd one, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think as you say, it does. January transfer window completely differs from the summer transfer window, whereby the January transfer window is often to try and get a quick fix in.
Yes.
If something's maybe going wrong or trying to fill a gap for a reason that's happened, you know, during the season, whereas summer is more building for the future and more of a long-term plan. But you do get the odd one here and there who do make a big move in January transfer window. But who knows? As you say, I think more towards the end of this month, we'll maybe see a bit more activity and movements. But yeah, I think Brexit, I've said it there, I've said it, Ryan. Brexit has kind of got in the way a little bit.
I was going for COVID, not Brexit.
Oh, right. Oh,
two words we don't speak about.
Two words we don't speak about. That is a very good point, actually. Yeah. two words we don't speak about. My word was Brexit, in the fact that it's got in the way of kind of the transfer window and will do going forward. And for any international listeners, this basically means that Britain have left the European Union. So the laws are now different, which means that bringing players in is just slightly more difficult and can actually mean that other European countries might have an advantage in signing other players. But it's all now on something of a points-based system. So a player has to fulfil certain eligibility before they can be signed and stuff. So it's just that bit more difficult to sign. So I think that might play a part as well. As well as the word that you referred to, Ryan, COVID has got in the way as well.
Yeah, and I guess this year, more than ever, that sort of importance on planning and recruitment that we kind of touched upon last week is more important than ever, isn't it? Because you can't just, it's not as simple as just going, let's get that player to fix this problem, is it? You kind of really have to, there's a lot of hurdles this year, isn't there, to sort of think about and to get over.
Yeah, and I think as we said last week as well, like you want to get your recruitment right at the best of times, and that's just a fact. But I guess for certain clubs who can afford to maybe make the odd mistake here and there, even they can't really now, kind of as you say, because there's just so little margin for error. It shows that maybe people might become a bit more risk averse, and we might have a quieter window for that reason, that people don't want to take the risk on a certain player until they're absolutely sure, maybe see how the rest of the season pans out. And then if they do want to make the move, they would, you know, do it in the summer. So that might play a part in it as well.
So I was going to ask you then, what's your opinion on the Liverpool centre-back situation? Because obviously there's been a lot of chat about how many crocked players you've got in your ranks. but, you know, the party line is officially that because of the FSG and Klopp's sort of mantra of not making rash decisions and stuff, that you're not going to buy a centre-back. So what's your sort of view on that?
Yeah, I can kind of understand that, because ultimately when everyone's fit, which is not the case at the moment, as we know, that we would have two guaranteed starters in Joe Gomez and Virgil van Dijk.
Yes.
So if we were to get a real big marquee defender in the January transfer window, come the summer when everyone's fit again, what do they just then come out of the team, and then a marquee signing sits on the bench? And
yes,
I know that Liverpool, every top team needs to have a rotating squad, but selling that to a player that they may come in, do a job for 6 months, and then there's the likelihood that they're going to have to fight for their place, it doesn't really probably bode well for the player.
No.
So there's that element to it as well. But then you look at the fact that, I mean, only last week they played with two midfielders playing in defence. So that's obviously not ideal as well, because not only does that maybe weaken your defensive line, because your midfielders aren't too adept at playing in defence, despite Fabinho playing so well in defence, but then that also then has a knock-on effect to your midfield, because you've not got the same kind of dynamism and the same rotation within the midfield as well. So it has a knock-on effect throughout the team. So yeah, the squad's thin, the team's thin at the moment, but I don't think it's, in terms of a long-term investment, it is the wisest thing to do to get a marquee signing as a centre-back right now.
Fair.
And also, who would be available? I know that there's been talk about Sven Botman, but I don't think that one's realistic from what I've been reading. Would you get, I don't know, a youthful centre-back who could be up and coming? Again, it probably isn't going to be the wisest thing. Rhys Williams is doing a job at the moment. Nat Phillips here and there, although...
Not quite ready, are they?
Well, Nat Phillips is 23, which is why it's a surprising one. But for me, personally, Nat Phillips is a good championship player, but not at the level. So it's a complex one. But long story short, I don't think that they should be signing a big defender, because it's only going to be a short-term fix.
Fair enough. And also, I guess you've got the added advantage, as you say, that Fabinho is just an absolute monster of a player, isn't he? That he kind of seamlessly slots in, and you wouldn't really know he was not a centre-back, would you, if you were watching him for the first time?
Correct. It absolutely. He's done so well. But then, kind of as I was saying, like, but then you kind of lose that screening of the midfield that he was so good at the past couple of seasons. You lose that, and you could maybe condense the field a bit more. If he were to make those sorts of challenges further up the field, if he were to operate in a midfield role, then you'd be able to win the ball back a lot higher with his like legs that come from about 2 miles away. And then he manages to nick a ball, and then suddenly you're on the attack far higher. Where when he's making those unbelievable challenges, doing so well as a defender, it's obviously at the defensive line, and then you've still got a long way to then go and build the play. And Liverpool recently have been sort of struggling in breaking teams down as well. So you know what I mean? If you have that knock-on effect of losing someone's quality within the midfield, yes, pushing him into defence and doing well, you do lose the primary role that he's actually good at.
Absolutely. Well, so obviously we've established then that Liverpool probably won't delve into the transfer market. But I guess what we're going to talk about this week then is potentials for those who might do. I'll let you elaborate a little bit more.
Yeah, we picked a couple, we picked three to basically talk through of potential signings that that clubs may want to look at using the 23 content toolbox.
Yes.
I don't know if I told you, Ryan, but we are in association with 23.
it came
never
up.
Gets old. never gets old saying that. But yeah, I thought it'd just be a good chance to use their tools, and maybe they aren't completely realistic signings for the clubs themselves, but they're certainly using this, you know, complex data analysis to actually use this tool, this Discover tool, which is part of the toolbox, to find some players who profile well, similar to those who we want to look at. So we'll go through each one in turn, and maybe look to see what players are similar.
Sounds like a plan. First of all, though, I guess we should refresh the listeners on what the Discover tool is and why it's useful, because, you know, as we're saying, this down the line of clever recruitment and really sort of good planning, it's an interesting way to look at options, isn't it, rather than just going, oh, they're a centre back, they might be good, let's choose them. So why don't you explain a little bit exactly what the Discover tool is again?
Yeah, well, there's two ways that we could kind of look at it. One is that you can choose a player, you can type in the name of a player that you want to find similar options to them, and using this complex statistics and data analysis, it will allow you to, based on some of the metrics that they are good at, it will find similar players who profile well in terms of their output, which is really useful. And I think this is something that we used before. I think it was with Joe Gomez, wasn't it? That it's almost like, yeah, we know what Joe Gomez can do. Type his name in, find other players who are similar to him, which is a really useful tool.
Yep.
Another way that you can do it is by saying, what metrics do you deem important? And then we'll maybe spit out a short list of some players based on that as well. So we're going to give you a couple of options within the examples that we do to do it that way as well. So you can say, we want someone who is potentially, let's say, good on the ball, who can get up for headers and get the ball into the final third.
Yeah.
So you can also do it based on that and just say, okay, passes attempted, that's a really important one. Final third balls, that's a really important one. And then you can shortlist based on that as well. So there's two ways you can do it. We'll give an example of both. But again, it's a really powerful tool that will help in terms of a recruitment search.
Fantastic. And more than anything, it's just fun for us to look at players, isn't it? That's the main thing.
Yeah, and also to potentially find players who we are familiar with, probably most commonly in the Premier League, but across Europe to find players who you profile well, who you maybe haven't heard of. And that's where you can potentially find a gem, find someone who you maybe wouldn't think by eye would be someone that you would profile similar to the players that we know about. But that's how the, you know, shrewd recruitment might work, that you can find a gem maybe within an average side or a struggling side. And yeah, just get to learn about more players. Always fun.
Fantastic. Well, let's start with an example then. So I think that obviously a need that has been about for a couple of months now is from that of Wolves. Obviously, Raul Jimenez sustained a nasty injury, didn't he? A nasty head injury. So they obviously have Fabio Silva, who's their marquee signing, knocking about the place. But while he's been settling in, who could, if they were to look for a potential replacement, quick fix this January transfer window, who might be a good replacement for Raul Jimenez?
Yeah. And as you say, Fabio Silva, I mean, he's 18 years old. He's not going to suddenly come in. And
he also looks like he's in the Strokes.
Yeah, he absolutely does. Yeah, he does. He's a good musician as well as a good forward.
Brilliant guitarist.
It's difficult because he's a completely different profile of player to Jimenez. Jimenez is quite physically imposing, whereas Silva's quite sort of slight, and he's more of a fox in the box sort of thing. So he's a completely different profile of player. So that might be another reason, as well as his age, only 18, why he's maybe not done quite as well yet, but there's still loads of time. I understand as well that the Wolves have called back Patrick Cutrone from Fiorentina from his loan spell. So maybe looking to actually reintroduce him to the team, see whether he can fill in, I guess, in the meantime. And I think the key thing as well is that Raul Jimenez is going to hopefully come back into the team for Wolves quite soon. So it might not be a realistic, this is who we think that Wolves should sign, because they probably won't be signing a forward anytime soon because they're bringing Cutrone back. But I thought it'd be fun to look.
Hypothetically, let's say.
It's a hypothetical one. It's just a bit of fun. But yeah, using this Discover tool, I have put Raul Jimenez's name into it. Of course, this is all using Y-Scout data, which I know we've mentioned before with this tool.
Yep.
And you can look at his attacking profile and see who's similar. And you can do it in terms of threshold. So you can say, like, from 0 to 100, how much similarity do you want?
So it's not necessarily on ability base either, is it? You know, you're not saying that whoever we pick out here is going to be as good better or worse than Jimenez. Is it purely on playing style?
Yeah, I guess it's a little bit of both, but correct. It's not just like pure output, how many, who's similar in score, also scoring the same number of goals as
right,
Jimenez.
Okay.
You're right. It's someone who's, yeah, similar profile, who maybe takes a lot of shots, someone who maybe heads the ball quite a lot, is maybe does more dribbles than someone else. It's that sort of thing of stylistically as well as a bit of output.
Okay.
Yeah, correct. But yeah, I've set the similarity as 70 out of 100. So a bit of wiggle room so that it's not a carbon copy of Raul Jimenez, but someone who's similar in his profile.
Gotcha.
And a couple have come out. Weirdly, one was Lewis Graben at Nottingham Forest, which I thought was interesting.
Oh, he was the one who used to play for Sunderland. When I watched Sunderland Till I Die, I think he was the striker then. I think I was in the first series, and then they left for Forest.
Yeah, he's a bit of a journeyman at times, but
been around.
He's been around, but yeah, just actually as well on that note is that it's pulled up Lewis Graben because the leagues that I've thought would be interesting to look at were the top five European leagues. So as we've spoken about before, Premier League, French Ligue 1, German Bundesliga, Italian Serie A, Spanish Liga, and I've included the Championship there just in case there's any sort of gems there as well that could be interesting.
Gotcha.
But the one that I thought would be most interesting to pull out was Wout Weghorst, who's doing really well at Wolfsburg at the moment. He's tearing it up in Bundesliga.
Okay.
And I also think it was interesting that Wolfsburg are like the German version of Wolves. So I thought it would be quite interesting. They're both kind of based on a wolf. Fun.
Well, brilliant.
That's not the only reason that they are similar. So he has a similarity score of 79%. And I guess it makes sense that he is kind of similar to Jimenez. He's quite physically imposing. Weghorst is 6'4", a Dutch international as well. He's really good, very aerially dominant. He's 28 as well, so he would realistically, he's not someone who probably would be someone that Wolves would be in for. Especially because he's rated, there's previous rumors of him going to Tottenham as well.
Okay.
And he's rated about in terms of price, about 32 to 36 million. So I don't think Wolves would be in for him anytime soon, not least because they've just forked out 35 million for Fabio Silva.
Yeah.
But still fun to look at, nevertheless. His goal scoring rate is really good in the Bundesliga as well. He's averaging 0.54 goals per 90. So basically,
great.
better than a goal every two games, which
good.
since the start of last season is the 11th best in the league. So he's profiling really well, and he's bang on in line with his expected goals as well, which shows that he's getting into chances that you'd expect him to score a goal every other game as well. So that return of one goal every two games is really strong.
Yeah,
similar to Jimenez, kind of as you expect as well, given Jimenez is he's good at linking the play and getting it to the likes of Traore wide and stuff. He's not known as a dribbler. Similarly here, Weghorst isn't much of a dribbler either. He's kind of something of a target man, but I think that's maybe doing him a bit of a disservice. But yeah, he's definitely got an eye for goal. He's got 9 goals in 13 games this season, and that's the fourth best in the Bundesliga. So he's
fantastic.
He's got a decent output, does Weghorst. So that was an interesting one that I thought would be, it just shows that you can really pick out, using this tool, someone with a similar profile, whether he would be on the move to Wolves anytime soon is a completely different conversation. But I thought it'd be fun to look at and to show that he's similar.
Absolutely. Love that. Here's a question I've just thought of. Would you have Raul Jimenez at Liverpool?
Probably not. I don't think he'd fit the role very well. Because are you thinking kind of a link-up, almost force him into a false nine?
I'm just thinking that you almost with Jimenez, or I almost, and I read about sometimes, he's on borderline top sort of six club, isn't he, really, in terms of quality? And I don't know, Weghorst might be the same. I just wondered if you think he will make that jump. And then I guess my first question is always with you to Liverpool. So I wondered if quality-wise, or as a different option to, you know, what Firmino offers, if he'd be someone that you would look at if you were Jürgen.
I think you're right in that his quality, and this is no disrespect to Wolves, I think his quality is worthy of making a move to a top six club or to a higher club, for sure. I think that, yeah, you would have to make sure that you adapt it to his strengths as well. Because, yeah, Wolves, this is why Wolves' goal drought has probably occurred recently, is that he is so integral to their goal scoring.
Yes.
I watched a few games recently of Wolves, and they've got so many great technical players, with Pedro Neto, I think, is a fantastic player.
Yeah.
Traore's pace down the wings is so, so strong, but they just had no one to get it in the middle to. And that's the strength of Jimenez. And I don't know whether he would fit the same profile for Liverpool, I guess, to answer your question. And if he did, you'd maybe have to adapt to him as much as him adapting to the team. And I don't think it would quite fit. But
yeah,
I do think, as you say, his quality is worthy of a move to a potentially bigger club. And I don't want to say that as a disrespect to Wolves.
No, no.
But I just did.
Well, there we go. I mean, you know, we know that anyway, George Mendes would have someone lined up if Jimenez decided to move. Maybe George Mendes uses the Discover tool. Do you reckon?
The Portuguese version, because it seems that it's the only market he's in for.
If you're listening, George, we'll do a couple more for you to explore.
Okay, so that was one done. Hopefully you enjoyed that, Ryan. Did you like a bit of that?
I did indeed, yeah. Let's do a couple more.
Cool. So who, I know that we spoke about this before, who is it that you've got in mind or had in mind to speak about next?
Okay, well, I've been reading a lot this week about Manchester United potentially looking to sign another right back. I think from what I can gather, the effect of Luke Shaw being galvanised by having Alex Telles there as competition, obviously they signed him last summer, has really sort of brought the best out of Shaw, hasn't it? And It seems like they'd like to have a similar effect on Aaron Wan-Bissaka, because, you know, as great as Timothy Fosu-Mensah is, I'm not sure that he's the, you know, going to be the push that Wan-Bissaka needs to stay at the top of his game. And also they need, you know, someone with a bit more of an attacking threat. I've never quite seen anyone tackle as well as Aaron Wan-Bissaka in recent years. But, you know, going forward is not necessarily his strongest suit, is it? So if they were to look for a right back, Mark, who would they potentially be looking at?
Yeah, well, there was rumours that they were in for Kieran Trippier, wasn't there?
Yes.
That I read. But this was before the FA handed him a 10-week ban for betting offences. So I think they've kind of pulled out of that one. I understand, Ryan, that Kieran Trippier is responsible for one of your greatest moments of watching England.
Top five greatest moments of my life, probably. Not even England, Mark, I'd say.
Go on. You got to tell the story if you haven't already.
Well, just the fourth minute, you know. I whispered to our friend Alec at the time when we were in the pub. I whispered, this is going top bins. And then it went in. And A, the feeling when you call that for any player is quite a moment. But especially, you know, semi-final of the World Cup against Croatia. And then I don't really remember what happened after that. It was a bit of a beery covered fueled blur. So, thank you, Kieran Trippier. Forever grateful for that.
Yeah, always be grateful for that. Mm. Yeah, no, you're right, though, too. For United to look for more of an attacking right back for all the reasons that you just said. Using the tool, I thought I would see who basically is similar to Kieran Trippier. Again, using this similarity search, even if it wasn't going to be Kieran Trippier, see who profiles similar to him if they were in the market for someone like him.
Fantastic.
So, first of all, a shout out to... So Matty Cash came up pretty similar, who has been doing really well, I thought, at Villa. Their strong attacking output this season has been awesome. So he came out as a 91% similarity.
Fantastic.
Which is credit to him. And also, just on that note of the time period of which I'm looking at these numbers are from the start of last season onwards, because if we were to just look at it just in terms of this season, then there's not as much data to go from. So just to add that in, that I've done it from since the start of last season, so including and up until this season as well. And I've also limited the search to players who are 25 years old or less as well, because I thought, especially for Man United, their recruitment policy isn't going to be looking at, you know, 35-year-olds anytime soon. So
unless you're Edison Cavani.
Well, yeah, it's a good point, actually. Yeah, maybe a quick fix in that regard. But but yeah, I think it's good to do that using these advanced data filters that in this, especially for, more of a... bombing on fullback, which is the idea for more of an attacking fullback here, that I'd look more for a younger right back. And someone who I thought profiled pretty similarly, which was an interesting one, again trying to pull a gem out, is Mehmet Zeki Çelik. Now, he is a right back who's doing really well at Lille, in the French league, and he's an established Turkish international, and there's been rumours of him actually going to Everton recently, or Roma apparently have been interested in him as well. So he seems to be someone who could be on the move But at 23 years old, I think he profiles pretty well, pretty similarly. And he seems to be quite a strong player, quite physically. He seems to be able to get up and down. He seems very capable on the ball, and looks to get the ball forward and drive upfield really well with progressive runs and progressive passes. So could be an outside shout, and it'd be quite a good sort of transfer fee that you could maybe get for him. It seems like he's valued at about 18 million, but there's rumours that he could be available for about 13 million. So nice. For someone to kind of push Wan-Bissaka, but you don't want someone who's going to be, again, maybe a marquee signing because he might not get into the team, that it could be a shrewd bit of business to get someone a little bit cheaper.
And I guess it's about pushing and just giving an alternative option, isn't it? Because with the amount of games and stuff at the moment, squad rotation is as important as it's ever been, isn't it? So actually, I think, you know, it acts as both those things, doesn't it?
Yeah. No, absolutely. And it's kind of a horses for courses as well. Like, the whole point is that they want someone who's got a bit more attacking threat. So if you're playing against more of a defensive team, then you might throw the attacking right back in. If you need to make sure that you keep it solid at the back, then you might go again with Aaron Wan-Bissaka. Who knows? But yeah, I've done it based on the attacking attributes of the right back, who's similar to Kieran Trippier to get Celik. And yeah, a few things that he's sort of profiling well on, as I said before, is progressive runs, especially like driving up the field. He's in certainly well above the top half of anyone in Europe in that sort of metric on a per 90 basis. So he's also gets a lot of touches in the box as well. So you can see how he's sort of getting forward. He's very comfortable at receiving the ball. He's profiling well at a lot of passes received. So it could be just an outside shout. As I say, I think Everton are in for him, but just a bit of fun to say who is similar to Kieran Trippier.
Lovely stuff. Just for a second, paint a picture for me and the listeners what exactly you're looking at the moment. So is it in the form of like a table, and for each metric it's giving you a similarity rating? Like, how is that coming out on what you're looking at the moment?
Yeah, pretty much. So it's going into this search filter, all the sort of things that I said from the start of last season, looking at that similarity level, and then it spits out a really neat list in a table, and it'll be based on those who are most similar to those who are least similar. And there's some here which I filtered out who are not realistic transfers for various different reasons, but the ones that I picked out from it. But it has the name on the left-hand side, their position, their age, and then all of these attributes. So as I say, we're looking at it from an attacking perspective with a right back. So it will say, as I sort of alluded to before, like maybe how many dribbles they've completed, how many progressive runs they've had, how many touches in the box they've had on a per 90 basis. And then really neatly, it has next to it kind of a traffic light system. So it will say someone's also called it kind of skittles before in terms of there's multiple different colors, but let's say almost like a traffic light system from red, amber to green, to just how then highly that player profiles compared to everyone else in the group. So when we were talking about Celik there in terms of his progressive runs per 90, it was 1.52 progressive runs per 90 is what it's got here, and then it's got a more of an amber color next to him that says he's in the between the 60th and 80th percentile of his positional group. So he's in the well above, as I said before, the top half of the someone who makes a lot of progressive runs within the whole group.
Fantastic.
So it really neatly shows just how their attributes kind of score against everyone else, and then obviously that similarity score with the player in question.
Fantastic. And also, I know that in the toolbox as well, you can create a player comparison visualization, can't you? So with each of these players, for the listeners, we'll stick a nice little viz up so that you can see the comparisons that we're talking about. We'll get on that in the week. But Mark, should we talk about one more?
Yeah, let's do one more. And this is probably one that I personally wanted to do. And it was basically, I think that Yves Bissouma at Brighton has been doing really well recently, and he's attracting interest from bigger clubs. There's been rumours of Man United, Liverpool, Arsenal expressing interest in him. And I think he's a brilliant player anyway. I've watched him for a little while, and I just think he's so comfortable on the ball. He breaks the play up really well. He's a very good kind of box-to-box midfielder. And I thought this is more of a hypothetical one, in that if he were to get tapped up by any of those clubs, who could then be his replacement for Brighton? So it's a bit of a leap, but I thought, again, it's just a fun use of the toolbox to see who we could find.
Absolutely. I have seen a lot of Arsenal fan traction on Bissouma. You know how they tend to get quite excited about potential players. And obviously they went for, what's-his-face, Aouar, didn't they, in the summer, as well as Partey, which didn't come through. So maybe Bissouma would be a good one for them.
Yeah, and he seems to be kind of a, I don't want to say jack of all trades. I think that's a bit unfair to him. But like he's well, I suppose it is a compliment as well in some ways. But he is a box-to-box midfielder. Mm. I think he can do a lot of various different things in the midfield. And often he'll play as part of a midfield four for Brighton. So again, if we were to look at it in terms of replacements, you'd have to take into account the sort of system that they might play in. But for now, let's just have a bit of fun with the toolbox.
100%.
What I've done in this one is a bit of a different approach. And I know that we said about both of the two different ways that you could look at it using the toolbox, that you can do a similarity search, but I did this one using the rating search.
Okay.
So instead of typing in a player, instead of typing in Yves Bissouma and trying to find who's most similar to him, I thought, well, let's see what sort of attributes we want, which Yves Bissouma does kind of have, and do it that way. So you can basically use this discovery tool to say, on multiple different attributes, how much importance do you want to place on them? As I said before, so I've put it as, so I think it's out of five, how much importance do you want to place on passes,
yep,
for example? So I've put out of five, I put passes attempted, four, final third passes attempted high, long passes high, through passes high, and passing accuracy high, all in terms of importance that we want a midfielder to have.
An absolute pass master you're after.
Yeah, a bit of a pass master. Yeah, so I've only focused it on the, yeah, with regard to passing in terms of those attributes for now.
Okay.
Just to see what would come out again.
Yeah,
nice,
yeah,
bit of fun, but obviously limited it to central midfielders only as well. In terms of those that come out, again, some highly unrealistic. The past masters of Europe come out, so Toni Kroos comes out,
yeah.
Marco Verratti, Joshua Kimmich.
All would fit in very well in Brighton's midfield, I would imagine.
Correct, yeah. Thiago Alcantara, but yeah, not having him. He's my favourite player at the moment. But one which I thought was really interesting, and again, probably highly unrealistic, in that bigger clubs are after him, but someone who came up quite highly, 85% similarity based on the rating search, was Manuel Locatelli.
Okay.
Who is a central midfielder for Sassuolo, in Serie A, of course, and they've got such rave reviews recently because their attacking dynamic style of play has meant that they're actually higher than Juventus at the moment at the time of recording, doing really well. And Locatelli is something of a pass master himself, so I thought that's interesting that he came out as quite similar. He's so comfortable on the ball. He's only 23 as well, so again, so much more sort of potential for him to go forward. But yeah, I think that Juventus are in for him, and AC Milan wouldn't mind taking him back, actually, because he previously played at AC Milan before moving to Sassuolo.
Yeah.
But he is an absolute pass master. He plays more in a 4-2-3-1. He plays in more of a 2 of the 4-2-3-1.
Yeah.
So slightly different system to what Bissouma would play in. But he is someone who, you know, said about the traffic light system of those who was sort of in the upper echelons. He's in the 95th percentile plus.
Ooh, in the greens.
All in the greens in terms of passes completed.
Nice.
Final third passes completed. Long passes attempted, all that. He's got it all in his locker. And I just thought that he'd be someone who, yeah, Sassuolo are doing really well at the moment, but could there be any potential of people picking apart their team come summer? Who knows? But I just thought he'd be a really good shout. And he's already made an appearance in the Italian national team as well. So he's not exactly under the radar. But he is something of a pass master, and I just thought it would be an interesting one if ever Brighton were to look for that.
Because, sign him up, Brighton.
Well, because Graham Potter's style is very much about dominating,
yeah,
being on the ball and yeah, building up the play. And it's all hypothetical. It was, first of all, if Bissouma left, but I thought that would be an interesting one. And someone who profiles well using the Discover Toolbox.
There you go, Graham. Locatelli's your man.
Locatelli's your man. Lock him in.
Lock him in. No, that's really good, mate. I think that once again it's been great delving into the 23 content toolbox, which, you know, always proves to be a really useful asset, doesn't it? And it's really interesting to see what it comes out with. So yeah, well, I enjoyed that.
Okay, so that's episode 21 in the bank, Ryan. We're 2 for 2 for January so far.
We're doing well.
We're absolutely flying. But let's already look to next week. What do you think we should be looking at for next week?
Well, it's been a while since I have learnt a new analytical concept, I think, Mark. You know, in the early days, I started off with XG and the journey went on from there, didn't it? So let's go back to our roots. You know, you read a lot, the sort of interest in stats and analytics is at its peak at the moment, isn't it? From what I certainly seem to think, and the interest is massive. So there seems to be new concepts and new theories and new everything coming up all the time. So let's explore one of the concepts that we might not have looked at in previous episodes, and we'll work through it and it'll be glorious.
No, I think that's a good idea, especially because from the beginning we wanted to make sure that this was a podcast which appealed to all. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to be an analytics type to hopefully enjoy this podcast. It can be something for everyone. So if as well we can help everyone to understand these concepts, then we can bring everyone along with us and then maybe refer back to it in future episodes. But we don't want to assume that people know these concepts already, because then that's quite restrictive. So let's do that. I think that'd be a good idea. I'm sure we can get a few examples in, as you say, and work through what would be best to kind of underpin what the concept is. But let's worry about that next week.
For now, we'll bask in the glory of another 23 Content Toolbox episode, and we'll say bye for now.
Bye for now, indeed. Thank you, Ryan, as ever, for your time. Thank you for listening, everybody. You obviously know where to find us, should you wish to. You can email us at fanalytics.pod@gmail.com. Of course, we're on Twitter and Instagram at fanalyticspod. But you all know that by now, so that's fine. Thank you again for listening, everybody. We will see you next time.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.